Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Capitalist Era, The Making and Unmaking of the Global Mind by Jeremy Adelman, is a work of global history centered on capitalism as both an economic system and a way of imagining the world. Rather than treating capitalism only as markets, factories, finance, or trade, the book is best understood as an inquiry into how capitalist expansion encouraged people to think globally, to connect distant regions, compare societies, pursue growth, and organize knowledge around worldwide interdependence. Adelman, a historian associated with global and Latin American history, approaches the subject with attention to empire, political economy, inequality, and the changing frameworks through which people understood connection and crisis. The title also signals a reversal. The same forces that helped create a global outlook have generated fragmentation, distrust, nationalism, and ecological anxiety. The book, therefore, belongs to the history of capitalism, global intellectual history, and modern world history, with a focus on how economic structures shape imagination and public life. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, capitalism as a system for producing global consciousness. A central idea suggested by the book is that capitalism did more than move goods, labor, and capital across borders. It helped produce a global consciousness, a way of seeing distant events as connected parts of a common historical process. Commercial exchange, colonial expansion, migration, industrialization, and financial networks made people increasingly aware that local fortunes depended on remote markets, resources, and political decisions. This matters because the global mind is not simply an abstract ideal of cosmopolitan openness. It is rooted in practical systems of calculation, extraction, investment, and comparison. Capitalism trained governments, merchants, workers, reformers, and critics to think in terms of supply chains, world prices, growth rates, and international competition. Adelman's likely contribution is to place this mental transformation at the center of modern history. The book, therefore, treats capitalism as a force that reorganized perception. It made the world appear interconnected, measurable, and developable, even as those forms of knowledge often served unequal power. Secondly, empire and inequality as foundations of global integration. The making of a global mind cannot be separated from empire, coercion, and hierarchy. Capitalist integration often depended on colonial rule, unequal trade, forced or constrained labor, and the extraction of raw materials from regions positioned as suppliers to richer centers of accumulation. A strong analysis of the capitalist era must therefore avoid presenting globalization as a neutral widening of horizons. The global outlook was shaped by asymmetries. Some actors gained the power to map, classify, invest, and command, while others were incorporated on terms they did not choose. This dimension is especially important because it explains why global connection has produced both universalist ideals and deep resentment. The same networks that encouraged claims about progress and interdependence also intensified racial, regional, and class inequalities. Adelman's historical perspective is well suited to show that capitalism's global imagination was never evenly shared. It was made through encounters between metropolitan ambition and peripheral vulnerability, between promises of development and realities of dependency. Thirdly, economic ideas as tools for organizing modern world order. The book's emphasis on the global mind points toward the role of ideas in capitalist history. Economic concepts such as growth, productivity, development, markets, scarcity, and comparative advantage did not merely describe reality. They helped organize institutions and expectations. Once societies began to understand themselves through these concepts, political choices were increasingly framed around integration into wider systems of production and exchange. This intellectual history matters because capitalism operates through beliefs as well as transactions. Investors must imagine future returns, states must define national prosperity, and citizens must accept or contest the authority of economic expertise. A global mind emerges when these ideas travel across borders and become shared reference points, even among critics of capitalism. The significance is not that everyone agrees on capitalism's value, but that modern debates often occur within categories capitalism helped create. Adelman's approach highlights how economic language became a framework for interpreting progress, crisis, inequality, and collective destiny. Fourthly, the unmaking of global confidence through crisis and backlash. The second half of the title, The Unmaking of the Global Mind, indicates that the book is not a simple account of rising interdependence. It is also concerned with the erosion of confidence in global capitalism and the breakdown of shared global horizons. Financial crises, deindustrialization, widening inequality, geopolitical rivalry, migration pressures, and ecological strain have all weakened the assumption that integration naturally produces stability or mutual benefit. When global systems appear to expose communities to distant shocks without offering democratic control, the global mind can give way to suspicion, protectionism, and national retrenchment. This is a crucial distinction. Globalization is not only a material process, but also a fragile mental and political settlement. If people cease to believe that global connection is legitimate or manageable, institutions built around openness become vulnerable. This Adelman's theme, therefore, speaks directly to the contemporary moment, when the language of common global destiny competes with fears of dependency, loss, and disorder. Lastly, global history as a method for connecting capitalism, culture, and politics. The book stands within a form of global history that resists explaining capitalism from a single national or disciplinary viewpoint. Instead of reducing the subject to economics, it connects markets with state power, empire, intellectual life, social conflict, and changing moral expectations. This method is important because capitalism has never been only a mechanism of exchange. It has required legal systems, political protection, cultural legitimacy, technological infrastructures, and narratives about improvement. A global historical approach also helps reveal how developments in one region reshaped possibilities elsewhere. Industrial growth, commodity demand, migration, debt, and financial speculation linked places that were often described separately in older national histories. Adelman's likely strength lies in showing capitalism as a world-making process. It created connections, categories, ambitions, and conflicts that exceeded any single country. This broad lens allows readers to see why capitalism's crises are not isolated malfunctions, but challenges to the very ways modern societies imagine order and progress. In conclusion, the capitalist era is most suitable for readers interested in global history, the history of capitalism, political economy, empire, and the intellectual origins of modern globalization. It will be especially useful to readers who want more than a chronological account of markets or industrial growth. Its practical benefit lies in clarifying why contemporary disputes over globalization, inequality, nationalism, and ecological risk are not separate issues but interconnected outcomes of a long historical process. Intellectually, the book encourages readers to see capitalism as a structure of imagination, as well as production. It shaped how societies defined progress, measured value, and understood their place in a connected world. What differentiates it from many books on capitalism is its focus on the global mind. Rather than concentrating only on corporations, finance, technology, or policy, it asks how capitalism changed the scale of human thought and why that scale is now under strain. Compared with narrower economic histories, this approach is broader and more interpretive. Compared with general globalization books, it gives deeper historical weight to capitalism's contradictions. Its value lies in explaining both the creation of global interdependence and the current loss of faith in its promises. If you would like to support Jeremy Adelman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.